Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alex Italander here, and before we dive into the next Behind the Ostium, I just wanted to take a moment to tell you about our Ostium Season 6 Indiegogo campaign. Thanks to the Ostium Patreon, we're able to pay Team Ostium for their work, whether it's voice acting, sound design, editing, or artwork. With our Indiegogo campaign, our goal is to pay our whole team fairly, and you can help make that happen in two ways. One, by supporting the campaign. There are a variety of awards, from sticker packs, to postcards, to notebooks, to signed copies of the Ostium book, and access to a brand new miniseries just for the campaign. And, two, by sharing the Indiegogo link with friends, family, and through your social media and telling everyone about this campaign and why you want it to succeed. You can find the link in the show notes to this episode or by going to Indiegogo.com and searching for Ostium Podcast. You can also find it on our social media pages. Okay, that's enough of me. Thanks for your help, and let's get on with the new Behind the Ostium.
And next we have episode 9, Avalon, which is all about Catalina, because I went there in college a couple times on trips because I went to Long Beach State. And so it was a chance for me to be really kind of evocative in my description and stuff, because it's a very picturesque, beautiful place with the casino building and all the, just the setting there is very unique. And so it gave me a chance to kind of go into all that detail, but also have another one of Jake's weird obsessions that he was able to wax poetically about in a crazy way. But also to once again change it up, because we'd gone to the past a couple of times, we'd gone to the future, which is clear. Oh, look, it can be any time now. You don't know where you're going to go with Ostium. But now going to somewhere that was more contemporary, but more specifically something from Jake's actual past. He, you know, he's obviously never been to Roanoke in real life, but he's been to Avalon. It was a time from when he was a kid, and he was able to connect a lot with it. So again, it's kind of changing it up a little, going in a new direction, but you still have the same rules again of the blackness coming. You only have a limited time there. And it gave me a chance towards the end of the episode then to have Jake push his power, his growing power, a little bit further, where they're not able to make it back in time to the original door they came through because of the blackness. And so then Jake senses another door that he can reach and get through to, which he does then with Monica holding on to him and blindly following wherever he goes at this point, because she has to believe in him. Otherwise, they're doomed. And then they get onto the boat and go through the little door that way.
And I liked how Jake is delaying the blackness, focusing on delaying the blackness, but it gets to a point where it's beyond his ability to to hold it at bay.
Almost like like something that's filling up and up and you're trying to control it, and then eventually it just spills over and you can't control it anymore, because then you just got to go. Yeah. And it started a little bit in that previous episode with the Mars one, where he was starting to be able to do that, and then this one, he's able to do it a little stronger. And also, again, with the admission of it, that he tells Monica about this, that he's able to do this now, and she's shocked by it. But again, it's sharing kind of secrets with each other and making their bond stronger. And the other thing about this was that even though it was a place from his past, again, this is a place where there's no people. It's a real place, a real setting where real people live, but there's no one there. So that's when I start to set up the plant the seed kind of in Jake's mind of what actually is happening here. Or are we in some alternate Avalon where there are no people created by Ostium? Is this a place where when they pass through the door, all the people suddenly disappear? And it starts to put the little possibility that maybe they're causing this somehow, or somehow Jake is when he goes through the door, that he might be in some way to blame. It's just a little spark beginning it, and then it develops more and more as the show goes forward.
Yeah, and the only person that they do find there is one of the soldiers in the theater.
Right. Because we knew at the end, that was the point that she... I'm not sure if Monica actually told Jake that, or if it was just an internal monologue of her when they tried to get through the door, the soldiers, they couldn't. So then they went and left. Do you remember if Monica actually told Jake that they would be back, or she just thought it? I can't remember.
But I know believe that she. I believe she originally told him they wouldn't be back.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they, she didn't want to lock the gate because if mm-hmm. they came in, they would find no one there, and basically right. they wouldn't question it. But we knew that was a lie.
Right, but I remember somewhere at some point I said she knew undoubtedly they'd be back. But now she's seeing them in this other way. Of course, eventually down the line you find out why. But as I'm writing at this point and as we're listening, I don't know why they're starting to show up in the world of Ostium at this point. But it's starting to happen. And not just show up, but also be dead. And also be dead from completely unknown circumstances. You can't tell what it is. There's no blood. There's no visible wounds or anything. They're just not alive anymore.
And the item that they needed to take was mm-hmm. on the body as well.
Right. The ticket trinket. Stone. Yeah. I mean, that would have just been a reason to have Monica say, you got to be fucking kidding me. But I think it was also, again, it was a poignant moment that worked well. And I feel it was a little bit of just, that's how Ostium is sometimes. It is shitty. Sometimes you've got to stick your hand in the corpse to find what you need.
I think that was all I had for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, other than the Infinity Door.
The Infinity Door. Oh, what was you mean?
After they put the ticket stub on the map table.
Right. So then, yeah. And then, because that's the kind of setup at the end of that, where they put the ticket stub on the map table, and then a rumbling begins, and things start to happen. And this was at me at this point. I can remember just riding along and getting into a groove of, okay, this is what's going to happen this time. They put the thing on the map table, a trinket, and then they got to move on to the next one. But I could feel like I was starting to get into, again, a kind of predictable rhythm, and I wanted to change it up. So that's when something different started to happen. And in my head, I started thinking, well, there have been, I think it was 4 or 5 trinkets placed on the map table now. So that's like some sort of buildup of energy or some kind of point that's been reached then that will cause something bigger to happen is what I wanted to go with. And so that's why you start to get the earthquake and things changing in Ostium. I was like, I did have one idea in my head of how, in my mind, what the map table was actually for. I think, yeah, because that was the one reason I wanted to change this up a little, was because I wanted to get more, can't even think of the word now, more power to the map table, more importance, that it wasn't just a handy little map thing, but it actually was a core part of the way Ostium worked. But I just, like, remember thinking, I didn't want it to be the equivalent of what they did on Lost, where they had these important messages being sent, and they were just going in through pneumatic tubes, and then just ending up in a pile in the middle of nowhere, where no one was going to read them, and that would be it, you know? I wanted to make it something more important. So I think that was in the back of my mind. I mean, that's been a big thing as I'm going along, is that I was so excited with Lost and how much it did and where it was going to go and stuff, and I really felt like it just did not deliver at all. So in the back of my mind, as I'm always writing Ostium, it's always I know I'm going in a specific direction, I'm not just going to go nowhere and just peter out.
They did a lot of setup and no payoff on Lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.